For Star News, this is Isabel Dorval talking today with AU President Emily Griffiths. And we'll just start with some of the things that you've been doing and up to recently. You know, you're very busy organizing all sorts of events, including the Strip the Willow World Record attempt that's on March 10th.
Yeah, March the 10th at 2 p.m. on South Street. We're really pushing for it to be a town and gown event. We've emailed all the schools and they've emailed out to all parents and, you know, that kind of thing. We're trying to get as many different community groups and, of course, all the students involved. So we've got quite the record to beat. I think it's 1,914 that we have to beat, which is a lot of people. So we will be doing a lot more promotion in the next few weeks as well. But it's quite an exciting event and hopefully we can get as many people involved and along to that as possible.
Yes, that would be great. And do you also have some upcoming Sinners sports?
Yeah, we've got the Venga Boys coming on the 13th of March, which is obviously hugely exciting. Everyone seems pretty pumped for that. And that's the same day as we've got the Tedder Challenge, which is like our varsity match against RAF Lucas. So we've got 13 sports involved in that on that day. So if anyone wants to come along and watch some sport down at the sports centre that day, that should be a really good kind of buzzing day to be down here. So that's pretty exciting. So that will be a great big day of sport before spring break comes along.
That sounds great. And you are also busy doing all the other things that go along with being president, managing the sports club's activities and giving input to the future developments and plans. But I wanted to ask you about, was there anything that kind of took you by surprise when you took on the role as AU president?
I think I knew that it would be a big job. I'm not sure I was aware of how wide ranging and how big the scope was of the job, which has been a real, you know, excitement for me over the years, how much you can do and what, you know, what areas you can take the AU in and whatever else. So it's been a really, it's been a challenging year in terms of personal, you know, development, what I've learned, the responsibilities that you have to obviously juggle and priorities. And I'd really encourage, you know, people in the future to think about, you know, SAB roles seriously, because, you know, they really are a good, you know, professional development experience, because you don't often get that ability and that responsibility early on in your career to really kind of make big changes. So yeah, it's far bigger in terms of a role. I knew it'd be big, but yeah, that's just it's just something for people to be aware of, the opportunities that lies there.
Is there any one thing in particular that you've experienced that you think you'll take with you after you leave?
In terms of what skills I've picked up, I think, well, funnily enough, I was talking to some potential candidates for AU president, and they said to me, you know, had they been hard skills that you've picked up? Have they been, you know, what kind of things have you learned? And I think it's quite fortunate for me in that I do think they are quite a lot of them are managerial and people skills, because you're constantly dealing with, you know, students and helping them manage clubs. So right from your first year through to your postgraduates, but then at the other end of the spectrum, you're dealing with those who are in the principal's office on, you know, quite a, not a daily basis, but, you know, quite often. And, you know, there's some very senior individuals in there who are who really do know their stuff. So having, you know, a high level of interaction and involvement with them has been, you know, fantastic. And you wouldn't, you know, the same again, you know, in a company, you might not, you know, be fast tracked to, you know, relationships with, you know, individuals such as that so early on. So people, you know, people skills and managerial, you know, skills and things such as that have been, you know, a big area of development, I guess.
That sounds great. And I guess a big example of your working with a community in the current kind of bureaucracy that's in place is some of the proposed changes to the AU Executive Committee. And I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind giving a bit of a summary of kind of where things are at the moment, because it's a bit confusing.
Yeah, do you want a summary of why they're taking place, or just or where we are in the process?
If you wouldn't mind, I know a little bit of both.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Exec changes are taking place because there's been you know, a few challenges this year with regards to the exec, but it hasn't been something which it has just been experienced this year. It's been a long lasting thing, you know, where the whole exec haven't always contributed. There haven't been the demand for the positions, So, you know, we haven't always had, you know, the best candidates, the most enthusiastic and whatever else. But at the moment, we're really trying to drive sport forward at the university. I know the redevelopment's happening in the next few years, and we're really trying to kind of push our services on and make sure that, you know, there's so much scope. Like I found this year, there's so much scope for the exec and things which can be done. And we do think that by professionalising it and making, you know, appointments rather than elections would really help us, you know, secure the best candidates who are there to, you know, serve AU operations and, you know, AU members. So that's why that's happening. And then at the moment we are in like the middle of a consultation period, so we're taking, you know, views on boards and whatever else, and then we are meeting for an AU board meeting on or, you know, close to the 18th of March, either then or, you know, shortly after that. And we'll then, you know, be pulling together all of the kind of feedback that we've had and making, you know, a decision based on that, whether we're carrying it forward or whether we're reverting to elections. We've had the experience before. The Athletic Union used to hold its own elections. So not only am I sitting on the elections committee now with regards to this elections taking place next week and the AU president that's involved in that. So I'll have had that experience, but also the Athletic Union used to do its own. So we've got permanent staff members here who know what they're talking about. So we're perfectly capable of doing that. And then if we do decide to go with the proposed changes, then governance and nominations are having a kind of emergency meeting to discuss it after that, to make sure that they've allowed us, you know, to fulfil our time requirements. So, and then, you know, we'll obviously be communicating that widely so that everybody knows what's going on and the, you know, processes either which way we go, you know, after that.
That's great, thank you.
It's okay.
Do you think that these kind of proposed changes will in any way play a part in the upcoming election?
They might do. I mean, it depends. It depends on what the candidates decide to do. They won't. I mean, they would be involved in the candidates would be elected, but they wouldn't be on the board. So yes, we'd obviously take their view into consideration. And whatever else, and, you know, that they would obviously play some part in that, but, you know, they might have to, for the first year, you know, accept that whichever way that that's going to go, and they'll have to, you know.
Because I was going to ask you if it's possible for a candidate to run against these proposed changes. Do you think, has anyone approached you about that, or do you think that's going to be a strong campaign point at any point?
I mean, it might be. I think that, I mean, it's only making the AU president's role better and stronger as well, because, you know, they're going to have a full hard working team behind them. So it's in their, I would think it's in their interest to have the changes. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see.
All the policies will be going live this evening, so
yes.
we'll see where we stand with that, and then, you know, that will obviously have an effect.
And I guess we can just end with, is there any advice that you would give to candidates?
For running next week?
For running next week, and I know it's a chaotic week.
Yeah, it really is. You're fortunate with AU president role that you are able to go around and meet all the clubs, which is... I think the best thing, and I'd encourage them all. I mean, I don't quite know how many people are going to run yet. Pretty sure what the number is, but we'll see.
Yeah, we have about 2 hours.
Exactly. I'd encourage them to go and speak to clubs, because I think it's important for the clubs to get to know those, you know, individuals straight away, and for them to obviously make a judgment based on that. So they've got a lot of clubs to get around and meet. Hecklings is a strong one. We've got the AU president Hecklings at 6 o'clock in the Buchanan Theatre on Monday night. So that's obviously a big opportunity for them to kind of sell themselves and, you know, what they're hoping to bring to it. But I mean, yeah, it's being active, being enthusiastic, and to be honest, that's a whole part of what the, you know, the role entails. So if they, you know, they've got a big week to push through, but you know they're going to need that for the rest of the, you know, the following year as well. And yeah, just to kind of enjoy the experience, because either which way, and whoever wins, it's an experience that you don't often go through. So just to kind of have fun with it and take everything, you know, on board. And yeah, best of luck.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. Yeah, great.